Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil karim. Amma ba'd. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you're all well. I want to take a journey with the very important text by a very famous Hanafi scholar, jurist, Imam Marghinani, who I hope I will talk about in more detail in some other video. But I want to look at his book, which is a standard text that's taught in many madrasas. And this is his famous book, Al-Hidayah. So it's a longer title, but I'm going to stick with Al-Hidayah for now. And I just want to take you through his introduction to the text, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. So, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate. Muqaddamatul Mu'allif, this is the author's preface. So the author's preface, the Muqaddama, author's preface, which we're going to look at, inshallah, today. So as always, scholars always begin by praising Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi a'la ma'alim al-ilmi wa a'lama. So all praise is for God, for Allah, who has elevated the paths and guideposts to knowledge. The paths, ma'alim, the word ma'alim here, refers to the locations of knowledge. Locations of knowledge. Ma'alim al-ilm wa a'lama, and its signposts. Okay. All right. So it can also refer to mountains, because scholars are like mountains, right? They keep things stable. When people don't know what to do, the scholars are people that you should go to for guidance, just like mountains keep the earth stable. But also in many traditions, mountains were seen as signposts. So if you saw a mountain with a certain shape, you kind of knew where you were as well. That's what a'la means. Ma'alim means location knowledge, but that can also mean the sharia, okay, the sacred law of God, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people say it can also mean the jurists, but we get the idea here. Alhamdulillah, alladhi a'la ma'alim al-ilmi wa a'lama. Okay. And in the footnote here, the one that I'm using, the text I'm using, Bayseg Bagdash, he says that it's the ulama. Okay. So this is something to bear in mind as well. This is one opinion as well. And then the author continues, wa azhara sha'ira shar'i wa ahkama. And who has made it clear the sha'ir, the signs of the law and its injunctions. Okay. So it's made it very, very clear as well. وَبَعَثَ رُسُولًا وَأَنْبِيَاءَ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And that God sent prophets and messengers, or messengers and prophets, Allah's blessings be on all of them. And their role was إِلَى سُبُلِ الْحَقِّ هَادِينَ, that they guide people to the path of truth. Truth is very fundamental for us as Muslims, because in Hanafi Madhab, as many of you may have studied, we place a lot of emphasis on truth, which we understand through epistemology, right? And through epistemology, we have we kind of look at certainty. And obviously, the more certain something is, higher up, we're more certain of something, then the obligation of it also increases as well. So we have categorizations such as farz, wajib, etc., etc. So anyway, سُبُولِ الْحَقِّ هَادِينَ, that they guide people, their role is to guide people to the truth. Now, هَادِين is a sort of attribute of them, right? That's what they do. That's the attribute of the prophets, to guide them. So we all need guides, and the prophets, as for Muslims, the prophet is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who guides us, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And then, وَأَخْلَفَهُمْ عُلَمَاءَ إلى سننهم داعين. And then you find that the scholars are their successors. وَأَخْلَفَهُمْ عُلَمَاءَ إلى سننهم داعين. That the ulama follow their ways. Okay. And in the footnote is mentioned here, أي طالبين الرشد من الله سبحانه وتعالى. Right. So the ulama are, as you know in the famous hadith, are the inheritors. or the heirs of prophetic knowledge, al-ulama warasatul anbiya. And their job also is to be what's called da'in, to call people. So the role of the ulama is to call people. Now, this is very, very important because they have the knowledge, because knowledge comes first, right? Ilm, what we call knowledge, and then you have amal, right? So knowledge, and then you have practice, okay? So lots of books have been written about people who do this one first, practice without this. So knowledge and practice are fundamental to our tradition, that you need to know what you're talking about, right? So sunanihim da'in, that's their role, that's their job, to call people to the path, right? To the path of the of revelation. Yaslukuna fima lam yu'thar anhum maslak al-ijtihad. Now, they are called people to their established practices. And in cases where we don't have anything that's directly transmitted, then the scholars will engage in a form of systematic reasoning, based on the Quran and Sunnah. So it's not separate from the Quran and Sunnah, but actually it's based on the Quran and Sunnah. We'll go through that as we go through the text as well. This word ijtihad has obviously it's taken on many meanings, and it can become very, very political. But I'll show you, inshallah, through the text how we can see how the Judaists were doing ijtihad. Okay, so they base this on the Quran and Sunnah. Okay, and they get guidance, mustashidin minhu, right? They get guidance from this, from the scholars, from the prophets. Okay. وَهُوَ وَلِيُّ الْإِرْشَادِ, and of course Allah, so here وَهُوَ Allah is the guardian of all instruction, right? So they follow the Quran and the Sunnah, they follow the prophets who practiced and showed to us how we should live, and in places where we have a new scenario where we don't have something explicit from the Quran and Sunnah, what the ulama or the scholars who are trained in this field do is they look at the Quran and Sunnah. They look at examples and they say, okay, what can we find in the Quran and Sunnah to help us with this new scenario? So we might have a new scenario or a new question that hasn't been explored in the past. So the scholars, what they do is they always take the Quran and the Sunnah, right? And I mean this in the broader sense. And they look into that. And then if they don't find it in there, there'll always be rulings that have come from the Quran and Sunnah, and they will look at a particular ruling which is similar to that new scenario and ask themselves, well, can we use this particular ruling in this new scenario, right? But remember that new scenario is also that scenario where they borrowed it from is coming from the Quran and Sunnah as well. So in effect, this ijtihad is in the Quran and Sunnah. I hope that makes sense, inshallah. If you've got questions, you can always put it in the chat box. وَخَصَّ أَوَائِلَ الْبُسْتَنْبِتِينَ بِالتَّوْفِيقِ, and he favoured, Allah favoured in particular the earlier jurists, right? Because of course they were the ones who were closest to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and here he means Abu Hanifa and his companions, okay? And you can also mean the companions themselves, the Tabi'een and the Mujtahidi, okay? So the early community are very, very important. And as you will see in the Hanafi school, we take the Quran, Sunnah, we take the companions, but we also look at practice. Okay? So we also look at what's called practice. So how did the companions practice things, right? So their amal is very, very important as well. So we place a lot of emphasis on what's called amal or practice. This is very, very important as well. وَخَصَّ أَوَائِلَ الْمُسْتَنْبِتِينَ بِالتَّوْفِيقِ, so Allah favoured the earlier jurists with success, بِالتَّوْفِيقِ, right? And because they were able to frame the issue for each thing that was obvious or concealed, right? So whatever was obvious, they were able to tell you, this is how it works. And if something was hidden, it wasn't quite clear, They would also tell you how to work here. And we'll see this, inshallah, in the book as well. Okay. And then he says, غَيْرَ أَنَّ الْحَوَادِثَ مُتَعَاقِبَةُ الْوُقُوءِ. This is very, very important. We live in a world where new scenarios are going to happen. And I talked about this already. But we live in a world where you're always going to find new cases that will come. Right? وَالنَّوَازِلِ. And you'll have new scenarios. So it's important to be able to يَذِيقُ عَنْهَا نِتَاقُ الْمَوْضُوعِ, that you're able to trap these, you're able to capture these. Because we live in a world where things are happening regularly, new scenarios are happening, but we don't need to abandon the tradition. We have enough in our books, in the Hanafi school, we have enough in the Hanafi books, right, to go back to. So if we have a new scenario, what we do is we look into the books of fiqh. Now somebody might say, why don't you look in the Quran and Sunnah? Why don't you go straight to the Quran and Sunnah? Why do you have to go to these books? The reason people make that question is they've made an assumption. They think that this is the books are not from the Quran and Sunnah. But anyone that reads the books, the Hanafi books, in our case, they will say that this comes from the Quran and Sunnah. So it's like they've synthesized it all from the Quran and Sunnah, and it's all been done in here. And all you're doing is when you find a new scenario, you're looking in the books. That's what you're trained to do. And you're saying, well, what can I find in there that I can use in a new scenario? Which is based on, this is obviously based on the Quran and Sunnah. So it's very, very important to bear in mind. All right, I'm just going to delete that. So give me some space to write. So this is what the jurists have to do, right? So they go back to their origins. They go back to the original masail. And you'll see this as we go through the text. You'll see how we always go back to the Quran and Sunnah. We build from the Quran and the Sunnah. Okay? And so, wa'itibar ibn, and this is what I was talking about. This passage here, this is very important. This phrasing here. Because this is basically telling you how we do it. Right? And precedent. So we're a precedent-based tradition. Right, base. So every new scenario we have an answer to. You just have to look into the books and argue your case. Show how you do it. Show your reasoning. Show your method. Right, because all of this is how it works. So it's a case-based system. Right, you have a new scenario. We need to then look into the books of fiqh and say, well, where can we look into the books of fiqh to think about how we can practice that today. And that requires, by the way, a deep understanding of the Sharia. Okay, like we'll go through it inshallah, but it requires a very deep understanding, not a superficial understanding. So every chapter has its own logic, right? Every reasoning has its own logic and reasoning. And to uncover that is very, very important. And inshallah, if Allah wills, we will do this inshallah. Okay, and so you need to know. You need to know how to do all of this, all right? I just want to make a few comments here before I move on from here, that this book is a coming together of two very important texts. One of them is the Mukhtasar al-Quduri, and the other one is called Al-Jami' al-Saghir. They're both published. You can get a copy of them in Arabic. This book was called Bidayatul Mubtadi, with his commentary by the same author. It was called Kifayatul Muntahi. Now, towards the end of his completion, the author realized that his book is too lengthy. So he resolved to write this book, which we're reading right now, the Hidayah, which eventually, through God's grace, Allah's grace, it became very popular as a manual in fiqh. And this text has selected, not exhaustive narrations. So when we go through this, it's very important to bear in mind. You'll find hadith in this book, but they're selective, right? They're not exhaustive, i.e. he hasn't brought every single hadith on that topic, right? Not every single hadith on that topic is here. You'll have to look in other books because he doesn't want to make it long. He doesn't want to labor the point. He just wants you to learn how to reason, how to understand the particular question at hand, and then move on. So that's very, very important to bear in mind. And also alongside that, he'll engage in sound reasoning. So he'll show you how to think, we sometimes missed out. How to think properly, how to reason properly. Okay, so it'll train you to think through topics without being too burdensome. So it's not too complicated. If you read, I don't know, if you read like a book like the Al-Mabsut of Saraqsi, that's a lot more detailed, right? That's where you get lots more detail. That's where you would go for advanced studies. Okay, so this is more of a, what I would say, and this is up for debate, it's a pedagogical text. Pedagogical text. In other words, it's not only teaching you rules, but it's also teaching you how to reason properly, okay, based on revelation. Okay, so this trains the jurists. So you almost become like the jurist's mind, how to think like a faqih. Okay, so the author, as you've seen here, he supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may he be exalted. He advised the reader that if they have time to read the lengthier work through his shorter text, though his shorter text is not without its importance. His shorter text is obviously very, very important. And so this is very, very important to bear in mind as well. Okay, so I've just stopped there. So he let's continue with what he's saying as well. You know, this is something that he says. Let's carry on. So he talks about all of this here, about why he wrote the book Al-Hidayah, which is the name of the text. Tariq al-Zawaid, I've not kept long things in here. So this is something to bear in mind. Okay. So here he mentions that I resolved, while writing the introduction to Bidayatul Mubtadi, that I would, with the help of Allah, write its commentary, which I would call Kifayatul Muntahi. When I commenced work on it, with my resolve being weakened somewhat because I was really busy and I was close to completion, it appeared to me that this book is really long. So I feared that recourse to it would be lessened due to its length. So then what did he do? I diverted my attention and concern towards another commentary that I would call the Hidayah, which is what we have here. Okay. And this I would reconcile with Allah's help, the selected narrations with sound legal reasoning. Okay. So here, this is important, what I said before about a hadith. Right. This is hadith and mutunu diraya and sound legal reasoning. Letting go of zawaid, extra things, which is here, these extra things, I would let go of them. And to avoid it becoming like really, really long, right? But he said that it has all the topics which are, you know, easy for a person to follow as well. Then he says that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants me success in the completion of both works and to bless me in the hereafter on their completion, so that he who has a loftier determination may approach the larger and more lengthier work, and he who is pressed for time may restrict himself to shorter and more concise volume. So if you're busy, then stick with this one. If you've got time, read a more detailed work. Okay. And then he said, very, very important, وَلِلنَّاسِ فِيمَا شِكُونَ مَذَاهِبُ وَالْفَنُّ خَيْرُ كُلُّ. People have different things that they go towards, but all of this is good. So people have different tastes. Some people like to read lengthier works. Some people like to read shorter works. And so this is something to bear in mind. It says fiqh is good, all of it. So one should try and learn this, inshallah. Okay. And then he says that some of my friends, ikhwani, some of my friends, asked me that I dictate to them the second work. So I commenced doing so, seeking support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, musta'inan billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to guide my speech in imploring him to fulfill, for facilitate for my task, right? And Allah ta'ala makes everything easy. All tasks that are difficult, easy, because he has power over everything, okay? And, O hasbuna wa ni'mal wakil, Allah is sufficient for us, and he is the best guardian, and there is no tawfiq, guidance except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from God as well. There's something to bear in mind as well. So these things are very, very important to reflect upon. I'm just going to say a few comments and end there, inshallah. So fiqh, if I can just write in English now, is basically a deep understanding. Okay. It's not just knowing what's halal and haram, But it's actually understanding the reasoning behind why it's halal or haram, or permissible, impermissible, permissible, virtuous or not. Okay? And so, you knowing whether, for example, something is permissible. Okay? Or whether something is defective. Right? In other words, you can correct it. Whether something is impermissible. Okay? And so on. So it goes on. Okay? And the people who are trained in this science are the ulama, right? They should be people who are trained, deeply, deeply learned people. Not superficial, but deeply learned. Yeah? Because of their scholarship, which is what ulama always should be pursuing, scholarship. Sound principles. So you should be able to see their reasoning. Okay, as a scholar, the principles, the usuls, principles and meanings that they're using. Yeah. And all of this obviously comes from the Quran and Sunnah. So it's all based on the Quran and Sunnah. Okay. So revelation in some ways continues, if you like. Not revelation as in wahi, but the idea of the Sharia lives through scholarship, through ulama. Okay. So the ulama, especially the Hanafi jurists, they identified cases, they analyzed them, they formulated rules, right? So forth. And so they look at, if, like I said before, if they have a new scenario, a new case, never been discussed before, they won't just go to the Quran and Sunnah, because there's a process that they can go through, which has already looked at the Quran and Sunnah. So they will look at cases, existing cases, which is the books of fiqh. And they will look into that and say, okay, what's a similar case? What's a case that we can find, right? That's similar. It's an old case, a masla that's come before, and compare, and are this similar, and how can we extend it? So it's based on the Quran and Sunnah, always. Okay? So it's always rooted in the Quran and Sunnah. Okay? So the goal of fiqh is to arrive at the source through reason, judgment. So this is very, very important to reflect upon. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala. I'll stop there, inshallah. Hopefully next video we can look at the first chapter, the first discussion in the book.